We have read the Bible message twice already during the service, but let's go through it again as I go through this message. So let's read from verse 19 to 20 right now together. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. So we see that the disciples were fearful. They're hiding. They're under lockdown, not because of COVID, but because the world was out to get them. But amidst this, something amazing happened. Jesus appeared to them, actually in the flesh. We remember from last week that Jesus rose from the dead, and here he is. Peace be with you. That's the first thing he tells these fearful ones. He showed his hands and side as proof that it is actually him. And the disciples were overjoyed. And this is what the Easter season is all about. It's a great reminder that we have of the joy of our salvation. Let's just move on to the next few verses. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So again, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." He really wants them to feel peace. They must be terrified. But then he says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Wow. Just like Jesus was sent into the world by the Father, he is sending them, these fearful and weak people. But he's not sending them alone. He then breathed on them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Remember, the Holy Spirit is not some ethereal power, but it's actually God himself. As a side note, if you're actually new to all this stuff, you may be confused about how or why Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit referred to as God. This is a foundational piece of our belief. Don't worry if you're confused about it. Please ask somebody in the church, ask Jamie, if you have questions about this. But he is sending himself onto the disciples, giving them everything that they need. Let's move on to verse 24 to 25. Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Hang on, why was not Thomas with the disciples when Jesus appeared? Throughout John's Gospel, Thomas is depicted as a leader, so perhaps he was busy. Or, which I think is more likely, perhaps he was wrecked with disappointment after what happened to Jesus and needed to be alone. Either way, Thomas was not there at the time of Jesus appearing. Poor Thomas. But the disciples told him that they saw Jesus. And they probably told him this with a lot of excitement, a lot of energy, a lot of joy. But Thomas simply said, "No, I will not believe unless I see Jesus with my own eyes, unless I touch Jesus' wounds." Remember again from last week. This is terrible. What a doubter. There's a reason why he's known as Doubting Thomas. But actually, aren't we all sometimes like this? Or more than sometimes, if we're a bit honest. What do you think Jesus thought about Thomas? Has Thomas missed his chance to believe forever? Let's continue. Verse 26 to 28. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, My Lord and my God. So this is about a week later, and the disciples were hanging out again behind locked doors. Thankfully, Thomas was with them this time. Jesus showed up again. And actually, as a side, it's pretty amazing that Jesus got into the room. The doors were locked, and he wasn't a ghost. Anyway, so Jesus went straight to Thomas to tell him how bad he was for not believing and to give him a consequence, right? Well, that's probably how Thomas was feeling right now. And, you know, maybe I would be feeling that way too. Because we know if you do that bad thing that you do over and over again, God is off in the distance with his arms folded. He's scowling, right? He's just waiting for you to fix yourself and stop being bad. But actually, Jesus is not like this. God is not like this at all. Peace be with you. He actually goes straight to Thomas. He looks him in the eye and tells him, See here, touch my wounds. Don't disbelieve anymore. Believe. Wow, such kindness and grace. Of course, Thomas believes at this point. Who wouldn't, right? But verse 29 is for us. It's for you and it's for me. Then Jesus told him, Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. So Thomas believed because he saw Jesus with his own eyes. I want to see Jesus too. Do you want to see Jesus? That would be great. But sadly, I have not. I was born a couple of thousand years too late for that. We may not have the same physical proof that Jesus is alive and real that Thomas and the early disciples had. But how blessed we are if we believe in spite of that. It can be hard to believe in God without tangible proof. Maybe some of us here struggle today with believing. Maybe we know friends or family or schoolmates or neighbors or colleagues who also struggle to believe because they can't see Jesus with their own eyes. Jesus acknowledges this, but he says that we are blessed if we believe in spite of this. How can we believe? Let's move on to verse 30 to 31. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So one of the ways that we can believe is by reading this book, the Bible. These final couple of verses show the purpose of John's gospel. Jesus did loads of things with the disciples. So many that sadly, they were not all written down. But lots of things were written down. And they were written down so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, we can have life in his name. I'm going to end by highlighting a couple of verses that I think are important to us to grasp this morning. If you're already a Christian, here's good news for you this morning. The disciples who actually walked with and shared life with Jesus were locked up in a room, timid and afraid and doubting. Jesus tells them, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Wow. Even me? Even you? Yes, have peace. God uses the timid, the weak, and the experienced to spread his kingdom. Remember, he also fills you with himself, the Holy Spirit. If you don't consider yourself a Christian at this point, here's good news for you this morning. Jesus knows where you are at. He knows your doubts. He's not judging you. He's not harsh. Instead, his gaze is firmly on you. Just like with Thomas, he loves you. Stop doubting. and believe. Verse 27. Consider the words of the Bible afresh. See his wounds. Read about what Jesus did. Ask him to help you to believe. Ask people in this wonderful community around you lots of questions. No question is too silly or insignificant. How blessed you will be if you believe. Let me just end by praying. Jesus, thank you for your word to us this morning. You know where each one of us are at. I pray that you'll speak to us exactly what we need to hear. Encourage us, fill us with your Holy Spirit. And if we don't believe, help us to believe. We put our trust in you and we worship you. Thank you for your grace, kindness, and love. In Jesus' name, amen.